Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
Now, away from dads and to the young people, and a lot of younger people spent the first few years of their career working from home, and we're told now, you've all read the pieces, that a lot of them are finding the transition back to offices difficult, even in terms of like basic things like how to behave. So with that in mind, I'm joined by three people who could be described as Gen Z or in their 20s, as it used to be known, let's face it. They are Jim Crystal, a researcher in St. Vincent's Hospital, Ilon Carter-Stitch, who is a project specialist with Quality Matters, which is a research charity. And Ilon, you're also a climate activist. And Minnie Mooney joins us on the line. And Minnie is a student and a journalist. So good afternoon, everybody.
Hello.
Hi.
Good afternoon, Brendan.
Jim, very briefly, like, look, all the stuff we say about Gen Z now, it used to be aimed at the millennials. Where does one end and the other begin, or what's...
Actually, I felt very awkward when you said Gen Z there, because I'm not fooling anybody. I turn 28 tomorrow, so I'm like actually just missed the mark. I think Gen Z is from 1997 onwards. So, yeah, I'm the last surviving millennial. Well,
man.
not the last. I hope not. We're the last vestiges of them.
Okay, so we have one old man and two younger ladies with us. Why don't we get everyone's situation first in terms of, would you work in an office at home? Ilon, do you work hybrid or what?
Yeah, I do hybrid, which works very well for me because I would do a lot of community and voluntary work outside. So it's good to have the bit of flexibility for myself.
Okay, so you're on the road a bit as well, and then you're at home too.
Yeah.
Okay. Minnie, what's your story? I suppose as a freelancer, are you largely working from home?
Yeah, I do. I mostly work from home, and occasionally if I'm doing a feature, then I'll be kind of out and about meeting people, but it would only ever be for the day. So I would consider myself working from home, yes.
Okay, so the office is foreign territory to you. Jim, what about you?
Oh, absolutely.
Sorry. I work in an office Monday to Friday, and I wouldn't really have the option of hybrid working or working from home. I've never actually gotten the opportunity to
work. So would you be unusual in that way? Like, is hybrid the norm for younger people now, for your friends, say?
Yeah, a lot of my friends would have the hybrid option, like particularly after COVID. Like, a lot of them would have been told, right, you know, we're moving everything from home, of course, because at the time they just couldn't. And now, like, people are going back to the office, but you do have hybrid options for, you know, a lot of my friends, especially those working in like finances and stuff. They would generally be hybrid, like.
Okay. And that tends to be now, I think, going in a few days midweek, isn't it? It seems to be Tuesday to Thursday, seems to be for the office crowd, seems to be the big days. And listen, Minnie, in terms of like you, so you're student journalist, you have a slash in your kind of job description, I suppose. But do we hear that a lot of young people now are tending to have more of a portfolio career, more kind of needing a side hustle and stuff, that people don't have like one staff full-time job like they used to?
Yeah, well, certainly people my age anyway, who would still be in college, they have at least one part-time job, sometimes even two or three. But I know people as well who have been offered full-time positions now, having graduated college, and even still they're looking for a job on the side, just because if they wanted to travel or if they wanted to move out, they just wouldn't be able to make rent with the kind of full-time position that they've been offered, even though we, like in my generation, would consider the salary quite decent, you know?
Okay, so like in a lot of cases, is that one proper job isn't enough, kind of? Ilon, so you'd have a kind of a portfolio career, would you?
Yeah, I'd have a bit of a mix, and I'd agree with what Mimi said. Like, up until recently, I was like also working in a pub as well at the same time, and I'd have friends who are... you know, working full time as well, that would be, you know, working somewhere else at the weekends and that sort of thing. Like, things are expensive.
Yeah. Okay. So do people resent that alone, do you think?
I don't know. I think if you enjoy where you're working, I think it's fine. I think, you know, maybe it alters the work-life balance a little bit, and I don't know how sustainable it is.
Yeah, yeah. That's it. Like, these things can be grand when you're young and flexible and everything. Yeah. Jim, so in terms of this thing then, that the younger people who have been working from home are finding it harder to, like, even interact socially with colleagues in the office and stuff, is that something that's going on, do you think?
I think so. Like, I think for a lot of people, like, around my generation, also just to weigh in on the previous thing of just side hustles, I'm actually just after coming from my side hustle myself. So, like, I do think it's kind of a thing with us as well. Yeah, yeah. I'm a swim coach on the side. Like,
by choice or because you need to?
By choice mainly, but at the same time, cost of living, what have you, it's handy to have another source of income coming
in. So you have a full-time job and then another little job on top of that?
Yeah, I swim coach on Saturday mornings.
Okay. So in terms of then the workplace and the office and stuff, because, like, I mean, I was reading this thing in the Irish Times a few weeks ago that some young person saying, well, we don't know, what do you do at lunchtime? Like, do you sit down with other people? Do you wait to be asked? And how do you greet a person? And do you shake hands and making eye contact and all this? And it sounded a bit, I don't know, it sounded like it was overblown, but is that really...
I found it quite hard to acclimatise recently, because I think with people of my generation who would have, like, let's say when COVID hit, we would have been about 23, 24, that was going into kind of the regular full-time working space. Yeah. And that was at a time when, like, a lot of us would have been working from home. And if you were on site at the time, I was working in the COVID labs. So, like, there was very strict social distancing rules in, like, you wouldn't shake hands with anybody, you'd, like, you know, just sort of nod and that kind of thing. So even now, if I'm in an office setting and I meet somebody new and somebody goes to shake my hand, I'm a bit taken aback by it. Like, I'll still shake hands, obviously, but, like, it's just something that I've just acclimatized myself to not be used to. Which...
Do you think that's the case alone? Like, have young people missed a kind of a period of socialization into work life, like, which, you know, we all have to go through, like, you do learn a lot of new skills? No,
I don't think so. Yeah, no, I think we existed before COVID and we shook hands before COVID, and I don't think we were, you know, just born.
I can see, Elon, that you think all these articles are all written by boomers and it's the usual, like, all the young people having a clue. Many, I suppose, one thing that older people think is, well, you know, office work and the office environment was always good for social life and stuff like that, and that the work from home gang might be missing out a bit there on all of that.
Yeah, I think in terms of it doesn't necessarily decrease your social circle, because I know a lot of people my age, I'm 23 now, would have friends from secondary school and they'd have made friends in college. So you don't necessarily lose friends by working from home, but you miss out on making new friends and, you know, then getting those kind of new experiences and new perspectives and things like that. And, you know, when you're in the office, you bump into somebody at the kind of the coffee machine or over lunch or whatever. And so relationships get to be a lot more casual, whereas when everything is by email or everything is by phone call, things are strictly formal and strictly professional. Yeah. So you're never going to get to know someone as a friend or a, you know, romantic partner or anything like that.
Yeah, so nothing's happening between the lines and in the spaces between things and stuff like that. Yeah.
Do
people go drinking with their work colleagues anymore?
They do now. Like, I don't think it's as common as it would have been, like, before, because, well, I'm a little biased. When I'd started working in my current job, it's a hospital, so, like, there was strict kind of everybody has to be extra careful,
yeah, okay,
because we're in, like, that kind of situation. But now, yeah, like, you'd be more comfortable kind of going for drinks and stuff afterwards. But, like, I'd say that's only really taken off in the past year or so, that, like, you know, it's become a regular thing where some people say, oh, we're going for drinks, do you want to come? Like, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, they were ill-advised at times, I think, that post-work drinking where people went straight out with no food in them and for one pint and ended up 5 points later with people that they work with but don't actually know that well when it comes
down
to
going for a few substantial meals, as we called it back in the day.
Yeah, like, it's all that, yeah. Elon, the other thing that I think... older people tend to think now is that young people don't drink the way we did when we were young, that drinking has become a bit more uncool. Is that true?
I don't know. I think drinking has become a bit more expensive.
Okay.
I think that might be
it. So that's what it is. Yeah. In terms of then work-life balance, I think there is a perception, certainly, that young people are better at work-life balance and don't live to work so much and put better boundaries around themselves. Would that be fair, Jim?
Yeah, I think, like, one of the advantages of social media, I know there are a lot of downsides to it, but like one of them is like most people would see people who are in their situation online. So like, yeah. Let's say if you feel you're being unfairly treated, you'll go online, you'll see somebody else being like, oh yeah, I wasn't like in this condition, so I asked about it and I got like, you know, sort of better conditions, better wage, whatever. And so like, I do think people now, like this generation, I'm millennial. Jeez.
You're in there, Jim. Yeah. You're an elder of that generation.
Yeah, sage. But
that's interesting. So I suppose, yeah, in the past, Minnie, there was often a sense that if some people were in situations, they didn't see it clearly if there were unfair practices or whatever, if the boss was mean, because they were almost kind of gaslit in the situation. But mm-hmm. Jim is saying there's much more awareness out there now and sharing of like, this is not okay, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. Like Jim said, there's a lot on social media about kind of, oh, this is how I've been treated and, you know, it wasn't nice and this is what I did about it. And I think that Gen Z tend to be, like, there's a big push, I would say, in my generation towards kind of self-care, you know, mental health awareness and your own well-being is a big priority for, I would say, for people my age. So when it comes to putting up boundaries in the workplace, they're definitely being encouraged to be a bit more kind of assertive on issues like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Would you agree, Alan?
Yes and no. I think, you know, you see the big multinationals buying people in other ways where they, you know, provide lavish breakfasts and fun offices and those sorts of things.
Yeah.
They may sort of fill gaps in that sort of way, but I do think people are more aware that they need to focus on the parts of their lives where they are indispensable, you know, being a friend, being a sister, being a daughter, whatever. I think people do sort of recognise the value in that.
So you don't define yourself by work and your career maybe as much as people used to, yeah?
Yeah, I think people realise that being a careerist isn't the only way to live your life.
Yeah. You see, I'm conscious though that a guy I know is a kind of a marketing genius and he always says, look, you know, people talk about Gen Z, they talk about millennials, they talk about Generation X. What that used to be called was people in their 20s, people in their 30s and people in their 40s. I don't think anyone was careerist in their 20s. You know, you're not thinking about a pensioner, you're not thinking about the future and all that. And I wonder as life circumstances.
I would like to point out there are 40 something year old millennials. So like,
yeah. But roughly speaking. Yeah. The other thing that they, I think Generation X, ironically, seem to be writing these articles in places like The Telegraph saying the Gen Zers are all working from home. They're lounging around in bed, ruining the economy. Minnie, you've seen these pieces, have you?
I have.
Yeah. Is it true? Do you lack a work ethic?
You know, I think it's interesting because, like, if you go online, there are so many kind of memes and jokes online about, you know, you're working from home, but you're actually just watching Netflix or falling asleep on the couch. And I think that kind of working from home, work-life balance definitely makes it easier to prioritize life over work. But there's kind of an amount of personal accountability as well. Like, I know some people who work from home, and when they say they work from home, it means that they are working from 9 to 5 in front of their computer all day long. And some people, it means they are just kind of falling asleep watching Netflix. So I think it's difficult to categorize a whole generation as just a bunch of slackers who aren't doing very well or trying very hard. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think, Elon, there's a flip side to it as well, which is that the working from home thing means that people can lack clear boundaries in work.
In what sense?
In the sense that, like, they don't say, okay, I'm working now, and then get up and walk away from work. It's kind of there all the time in the corner, yeah?
Yeah, maybe. I would agree with that. But I think in my own personal case, it would be because I do so much outside of work that I would really enjoy and I really like doing, but sometimes I'm like, God, I haven't had a day off in weeks. Do you know?
Really, yeah?
Yeah.
Have you not had a day off
you
in
are
weeks?
A corporation's dream.
No, because we like, I work, obviously, and I love my job. And then outside of that, myself and a friend of mine run a social initiative. And we're very passionate about it and we love it very much. So that would take up a lot of our time also.
What's the social initiative?
So it's called Change Clothes Crumlin. And we focus on textile circularity and community building in Crumlin. So we try to intercept textile waste at every level that it occurs. So the new stuff, put it back out so people are still using it through swap shops or whatever. The stuff that needs a bit of mending, we try to fill the generational skill gap by teaching people how to sew, and then things can keep being used. And then the stuff that's scrap, about 2% of what we get in will be scrap, and we use those things to do workshops for creative reuse.
Okay, so that's a whole social enterprise you're doing that is above and beyond your own job.
Yep.
And now I'm conscious your other employers may be listening, but that clearly is your passion.
Well, I really enjoy both of them. They're both great, and they both have a bit of overlap.
Yeah. I think, Jim, there is a fair amount of entrepreneurialism in the younger generation as well, isn't there? They take risks, I think, sometimes in a way that maybe we didn't always, because they're less definite options for them there, that it's less cost to take a risk.
I think it's that there's just, like, again, with the social media thing, the biggest thing I find is Instagram now, because, like, you'll see so many people being like, oh, I'm 22, I just bought a yacht, here's how I did it. And, like, you know, that kind of, and so you'll have some people being like, wow, I can do that. And, like, you know, there's loads of these pages online that's like, start a business, start selling this thing, or always have a side hustle, or that kind of thing. So I think, like, especially given the fact that with this generation we've encountered so many, I'm basically looking for an urn at this stage.
We've experienced two catastrophes,
recession, like, you know, this generation answers the name of lucky. Basically you've always kind of had that in the back of your mind of like, have a stream of income. So I do think that's why we'd be more inclined to kind of set up businesses or teach yourself new kind of monetizable skills or that kind of thing.
Because you don't trust the system then anymore to provide in the way that people kind of did. Like, people trusted there was a system there, and on you went, and you'd buy a house at a particular point and settle down, and you would kind of advance in your career as you went along. Well, that model is not there anymore. No?
Well, for me, I'm kind of biased in that I got hit by a complete blinder with COVID, in that when it hit, I was working as a full-time, now I keep saying swim coach, it's technically swim teacher, but coach sounds better. So I was working as a full-time swim teacher at the time, and the fitness industry basically just disappeared overnight with like the closure of gyms, pools, etc. So after that, I was like, right, okay. And now thankfully I had my like degrees in science, and I just finished a project in PCR. And would you believe PCR became fairly popular in 2020 and 2021? Who'd have thunk?
So, and for all those mothers out there who say, just get the degree to fall back on, Jim, living proof that you should get the degree to fall back on. Minnie, there's a texter here is asking about phone calls. Why won't that younger crowd take phone calls? They seem to view it as an act of aggression. Is a phone call an act of aggression these days?
We've had earphones in since the age of two. We can't hear.
That's funny, actually, because I remember the first time, you know, that I took kind of what I would consider a work phone call, and I felt really grown up and I felt really professional, but it was scary. Do you know what I mean? Like, my heart was beating so quickly, and I thought, oh, I'm really grown up now. I was like, oh, I'm really an adult now. Like, this is going to be very professional. And sure, it wasn't. It was like a 2-minute phone call. It was fine.
The notion that you have to think on your feet, is it, in a live phone call situation, as against like if you're texting back and forth, you can kind of delete, go again, that kind of thing?
Absolutely. Like, you'll see, and you'll probably hear a lot, my generation will send a lot of exclamation marks, because I think Gen Z tend to be kind of people pleasers. So they'll send exclamation marks to sound really enthusiastic. And so when you pick up the phone, you can't, if you're scared or nervous or uncomfortable, you can't sound enthusiastic. And it might end up being kind of a job interview, like an impromptu job interview. So I think I would answer the phone, but every time I do answer the phone, I think like, okay, now I'm just going to straighten my tie here and take this very seriously, because this is definitely a big deal when my generation are used to just texting.
Minnie, I've bad news for you. If you're going to stay being a freelance journalist, and anyone who's freelance for a long time, every phone call, that insecurity is never going to leave you, I'm afraid. So you're just going to need to learn to live with that. You see, the exclamation marks, now, in my day, I think an exclamation mark would have been viewed as quite kind of slightly aggressive. But so it's a sign of enthusiasm now, is it? Alone, do you a lot of exclamation marks in your communication?
I don't know. I haven't really never do that.
Anytime I see an exclamation mark in a text or an email, it just looks like laughing at your own joke. Like,
yes.
I just find it kind of... You sent an exclamation mark in, didn't you, Minnie?
And I definitely did send about three of them in. Yeah, because I'm very enthusiastic, Jim. That's the thing.
I see the voice note has become a thing now, which again, like people, the young people seem to feel a voice note is less aggressive. And a voice note, for anyone who doesn't know, is when people just basically talk at you into their phone and then send it to you by a text. So there's no opportunity for you to interrupt, to speak back. I find that quite high-handed and aggressive, Jim, but it seems to be
preferred. I absolutely hate that. I'm a really not a fan of that, because it's just, particularly for me, if I'm texting with somebody, I want to be in a stage where I can discreetly just look at the phone. And if I have to sort of go off, put on headphones
stop
and stuff
everything.
And listen, because you're saying, so, went to the park today. Like, I'm just like, okay, what? Like, it's, you know, God knows how many words in a sentence, just type the sentence. Like, sorry.
Yeah. Minnie, are you a voice note person?
You know, I'm really embarrassed now because I just remembered someone asked me recently like what I think of voice notes, and I said I love them exclamation mark.
So I'm so glad you're not in the studio.
I think that sums it all up, really. You wrote a text a text about voice notes with an exclamation mark. It ticks all the boxes. Look,
it
on
does,
a serious
but I, you know,
yeah?
I think sorry.
No, go on.
Sorry, I was
go
just
going
to say I think voice notes like for my generation we're very fast moving, you know what I mean, like there's a lot of social media, so our brains move very quickly, we're very like instant gratification, and you save time by sending a voice message and it feels a little bit more intimate, it feels like you're having a conversation with someone as opposed to just sending
a conversation where they can't talk back. Minnie Mooney, I'd say the kind of conversation you possibly like. All right, listen, I think we can say after all that our fears for Gen Z and for their elder leader Jim are a bit overdone.
Don't put me in that position.
They seem to know what they're doing. So Ilan Carter, Stitch, Jim Crystal and Minnie Mooney, thank you all very much for your insights today, and we'll take a break.
Thanks.
Email brendan@rte.ie.